Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. It is 9:05 on the clock. Got your host, James, here. I'm joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning, good morning.
We got that ain't right stories, good stories of the day coming up for you in a little bit. A little bit of entertainment news as well. Right now, though, time for everybody's new favorite show, the show inside the show. It is time for The Kitchen's Open. Melissa, the floor is yours.
All right. Well, this week, because last week we talked about pizza a lot, James.
Yeah.
And we had the debate of pepperoni versus sausage.
Mm-hmm.
So that piqued my interest on the subject of pizza.
Hmm.
So we're going to go into a brief history. Now, pizza has a long history, which I will now endeavor to break down to a mouthful for your listening pleasure. So the forefather of pizza, the pie father.
The pie father, I like that.
What we consider pizza is very similar to flatbread with toppings, which was consumed by ancient Egyptians, Romans, and Greek people as far back as at least 1600 BC.
Wow.
Although, scientists have found evidence of flatbread in a 14,000-year-old dig site in Jordan. Who knows what they put on it? It's a little bit of dust now, but
definitely some olive oil. Definitely some olive oil went on that.
So Italy is often credited with the invention of pizza. Naples had a large population of working poor and required inexpensive food that could be consumed quickly. So pizza with various toppings were sold by street vendors and are very similar to many forms of the pizza that we are familiar with today. But the first documented pizzeria in America was G. Lombardi's on Spring Street in Manhattan in 1905. So then Italian pizza style dominated during the beginning of the 20th century.
Yeah.
That sound right, James?
Yeah, yeah. It sounds very accurate and you know, understandable. It's one thing that you mentioned there is kind of interesting. Just, I don't mean to get in your flow.
No, go ahead.
But we don't think of pizza as a poor food. But that's where it started, and that's how it got its creation. And that's kind of interesting to think about.
Well, because the people looked down on it as, you know, these gross eating habits, eating with your hands.
Yes, yes. Pizza also was the rise of that, no pun intended. The eating with your, more foods being made to eat with your hands.
Mm-hmm. And quickly, fast food.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So in the 1950s, pizza began to diversify a bit and was embraced by the masses with non-Italian ingredients and non-Italian restaurants beginning to serve pizza. And then in the 1960s, they had the invention of frozen pizza. Hmm. And then its fame spread wide and far.
Yeah.
And now American chains like Domino's and Pizza Hut thrive in around 60 countries across the world and reflect local tastes with a multitude of different ingredients based on where they are located. So that takes us to the subject of pizza toppings. Because we were talking about, you know, the traditional options, sausage, pepperoni, supreme for those who like everything, cheese for those who like nothing. I mean, or are vegetarian.
Right, right.
Well, although cheese pizza is actually really, really popular.
Yeah.
Like, it is kind of the number one pizza.
Yeah, I wouldn't have realized that right away, but in doing a number of these studies and different things over the years, I've seen that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But let's talk for a moment about weird toppings that you can't find at a traditional pizza restaurant in the U.S. Because this was a rabbit hole I had a lot of fun.
We love weird
diving
around here.
Down. All right, so beetroot pesto with goat cheese. So you can make pesto with beets instead of basil.
Okay.
So it's like a red pesto.
Huh.
And then apparently it's amazing. And if you like goat cheese, the combination goes really well together.
Okay.
Now, this one's a little more common, breakfast pizza. I think they do serve that at occasional pizza joints.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, pubs or bar foods include a breakfast pizza.
Yeah.
This one I thought was good. Rhubarb, basil, and honey apple, apple honey barbecue sauce. Savory and delicious.
Yeah, I'd try that.
Rhubarb on pizza. It does seem a little weird.
It does seem a little weird, but you know what? I mean,
it's pizza. I'd still try it.
And I don't have a good, like, if you tell what does rhubarb taste like? I'm like, rhubarb. I don't know.
Tart? Sour?
On pizza, when pizza is one of those things, too, where things don't always taste the same to me as they do on a pizza. So,
well, and the combo of things makes a difference. How about grilled honey chicken with sriracha sauce?
Yeah, try that.
Yeah,
try that.
Be some sweet heat. Nacho pizza or taco pizza?
Yeah, those are
yum.
Good. Yeah.
But I just like saying nacho pizza.
Yeah, nacho pizza. It's such a fun word.
And then dessert pizza. Mm. I think we've all had that in some form or another. My mom used to make it with sugar cookie dough.
Mm,
So it was super decadent. She'd do like a cream cheese spread on there that had sugar in it and then put fruit on top of it.
Yeah.
So good.
Nice.
Yeah, I can't eat that now. I would
die. No, no. Yeah, you can't. Yeah. Oh.
James, did you know that you can't actually order a pepperoni pizza in Italy?
I've heard rumors about this.
Okay. So the reason for it is pepperoni in Italian actually means bell peppers. Pepperoni is actually an American thing, as it's a mixture of beef and pork that's smoked. They don't really have smoked meat in Italy.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you ordered a pepperoni pizza, you get a pizza with peppers on it. Not exactly what you were going
no,
for.
No, no. And which is kind of funny, too.
Uh-huh. So then I thought about, you know, looking into different pizzas from around the world and what is weird toppings for them. Some of these, James, just wait. Okay, so in Sweden, banana curry pizzas are popular.
Whoa.
Peanuts and banana slices on top of dough with a red or white curry sauce.
Duh.
Chicken, ham, or beef are often the top protein choices. And you can add pineapple for a tropical curry taste. All right, James, on that one.
My taste buds are trying to run away right now. I'm trying to keep them in my mouth because they're trying to run away from this conversation.
All right, well, let's head to Japan. They use egg and a sweet Worcestershire type sauce in place of tomato sauce. So I could eat that, actually.
Huh.
And they call it okonomiyaki.
Oh, that is a lot more fun to say. That's true.
And I actually said that easier than Worcestershire.
Isn't that funny? The way that works.
So, toppings vary by region and may include squid, prawns, pork, noodles, eel, and cabbage. It is so popular that they have an okonomiyaki-based theme park in Hiroshima.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Imagine a theme park based on a food.
Yeah.
Wow. Huh. That's interesting.
So in Australia, they like toppings like emu, kangaroo, salmon, dill, and tiger prawns.
Hmm.
And in Sydney, Australia, they like saltwater crocodile pizza.
I would try that.
Yeah.
I'd definitely try that.
It tastes like chicken.
Yeah, probably.
In Brazil, they don't use seasoned tomato sauce. Again, I got excited. They prefer a thinner, unseasoned layer of sauce on their pies. But their weird toppings include cheddar cheese, broccoli, cream cheese, boiled eggs, and get this, stroganoff.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, but the only thing in that list I can eat is boiled eggs.
Mm. Yeah. I'm starting to feel bad for pizzas.
Well, just wait. It gets better. Finland with reindeer meat. Scotland, of course, haggis.
Mm.
Philippines like mango on their pizza. Mm. And in Israel, corn and yogurt.
Yeesh.
But my favorite so far is Costa Rica with coconut and shrimp.
Oh, yeah, I try that. Yeah.
Though my favorite pizza delivery guy would tell you that shrimp pizzas are the hardest to deliver.
Oh, I bet.
Because they slide really.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I wouldn't have thought of that. Yeah.
The toppings slide.
Mm. That's interesting.
So in this research, I came across a guy who is the founder of Scott's Pizza Tours and author of Viva la Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And he travels around the country and does all kinds of pizza-related research and all of that. And I found a quote of his that I like. The whole point of a pizza is that it's casual. The moment you put rules to pizza, you violate what it is, and that's just lame.
Oh, is that a really good quote? Yeah, that's really good. And so true, true. Pizza's supposed to be fun.
It's amazing, and the toppings you can put on it are whatever you like.
I mean, is it edible? Then you can put it on the pizza topping. You use it as a pizza topping. I can't think of anything that I haven't seen as a topping at this point now. Like, everything's been done. I've seen people put a half a rotisserie chicken on a pizza, literally, and sell it. Like, you know, that's
Well, they used to have pizza doctors in La Crosse, and that was such a fun place to go because they came up with the most weird and amazing things. And they would come around and you could just try. Try whatever kind of pizza you wanted. It was fun.
Have you had a topping that you were surprised by?
Well, not recently, because I don't get to eat a whole lot of pizza.
No, no,
so
I'm
if I'm going to have a slice, it's usually after a few beverages.
Yeah.
And then I eat pizza when I shouldn't.
Yeah. I love pineapple, but I never tried it on my pizza. And then like in my 20s, 30s, somewhere around there or something like that, I tried it and it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
It just didn't taste like pineapple. The same, like, it didn't taste the same to me.
Yeah. Because, well, the combination of stuff.
Yeah.
I did recently try a barbecued chicken. That's what it was. Because there wasn't the tomato sauce. I was like, well, maybe I can get away with this one. And it was really tasty.
It's worth a try. And that is going to do it for the kitchen's open.
The kitchen is now closed.
Fantastic. Nice job, Mel.
Right,
that's a great.
Thanks.
That was great. Really good topic. Really good topic and really
Who
good
doesn't
information.
Like pizza?
There. Yeah. Well, and it's one of those ones where I think, like a lot of people out there, I knew quite a bit about pizza. And then I just heard that segment and realized I didn't know half of what I thought I knew. There's a lot I didn't know there. Nice work. Nice research.
Well, thanks.
We're going to keep going with a little bit of entertainment news here. Some Blink-182 fans got their first taste of Ticketmaster's new dynamic pricing model while trying to score tickets for the upcoming reunion tour. Not surprisingly, they didn't like it. Mark Hoppus actually issued a statement trying to mitigate the damage. He said, quote, Yes, I understand that the ticketing can be frustrating. I bought tickets for two of our shows myself just to see what the experience was like. I had tickets yoinked from my cart and the whole thing crashed out.
What?
Dynamic pricing. I'm not in charge of it. It's meant to discourage scalpers. We're trying to bring you the best possible show for the best price. This is a tour celebrating new music and the band getting back together. Thank you for your enthusiasm, and I hope to see all of you at the show. But there's a lot of people that are already kind of like pulling away from this like reunion tour because the ticket prices, because not just the ticket prices, but to something he touched on there. A lot of people nowadays like to put stuff in their cart on their online sites, and they'll get to it when they get to it. It's a cart. It's my virtual cart.
Right.
It's not in anybody's way or anything like that. What's the big deal? But when it comes to these kind of things.
Ticket sales, that's a little different.
Yeah. I don't understand how you can get bent out of shape about tickets getting out of there unless you should understand this, I would think, especially with something like tickets.
Right.
It isn't like an item on Amazon where there's literally an endless supply of them, so you can go ahead and have it in there, and maybe the price will fluctuate a little bit, but that's you're not going to lose the item.
No.
These are obviously, there's only so many. So what are you doing waiting on it? I mean, if they're in your cart, I would think that you're ready to buy them.
Right.
You know, you're not putting them there just to browse.
Just to hang out. Wish list kind of thing.
And, catch up. This has been an issue forever. This has been an issue for as long as there's been Ticketmaster, this has been an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those ones where the artist always takes the hit for this when they are not in charge
it's
of
not
these things.
On them.
No, they have no control over this stuff. So, I don't know. I will be interested to see how this will affect their tour numbers and how much this. Because there are certain acts that they're bulletproof. By Beyonce, you don't.
Right.
People buy Beyonce tickets and they don't look at the price; they just buy the tickets. They're gonna see Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
There's other artists that are similar to that. I don't know if a returning act will have that impact or not. Your fan base is just not going to be the same as it was when you left them. That no fan base, no matter how good you are, if the Beatles were to have gotten back together while they were all alive, they would have lost some people. Like Pete, you're gonna. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Even if you had stayed together, your chances are you might have lost some people.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, that's the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
The actor who has dropped the most F-bombs. Our next topic. A website called Crossword Solver has determined what actor has dropped the most of these in their career. And I think that everybody at the same time is yelling at the radio the same name.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes, that's Samuel L. Jackson. Yes.
That's the right one. I had the wrong name, but I was thinking the right person.
Samuel L. Jackson is kind of known for this, and so much so to a point where he kind of makes jokes about it now in interviews, and he's really embraced it and everything. But we're all wrong, because that's what my guess would have been, too. But it's not.
Really?
Not Samuel L. Jackson.
Who is it?
Joe Pesci. And once you think about it, I think it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Pesci has said that word 272 times in various movies. 241 of those were from a single movie.
Wow.
Casino.
Ooh.
Yeah. Al Pacino is second with 197, followed by Jason Mewes of Jay and Silent Bob fame. Yes, that's awesome. I love that. Jonah Hill with 183. Leonardo DiCaprio actually way up there at 144.
Wow.
And right behind him, Seth Rogen at 140.
Hmm.
Now, Joe Pesci has a bigger body of work.
Yeah.
At this point, though, because Pesci's been out of that, like, Pesci got to start earlier than Samuel Jackson or some of these people. But at the same time, he's also hasn't made a whole lot of movies in the last 20 years.
Right.
So a lot of people have caught up. But at the same time, he still has the record for this. As for Mr. Jackson, he only made it to 20th place on the list with a meager 85.
Hmm.
They didn't just... That's because it's not that he has said it the most. He has, like, made it the most pronounced.
Right.
The most, like, when he's...
Most attention drawn to it.
There's certain words that when certain people say them, they just sound different. They just have a little more of an impact in everything.
a little more peck.
Yeah, he's kind of one of them. They didn't just stop at the F-bomb. They also determined the actors who said the S-word and hell the most. Denzel Washington is the king of the S-word with 84, most of them in Training Day.
Mm.
He's followed again by Jason Mewes and Seth Rogen. Shia LaBeouf is in there, along with Ben Affleck and Sam Jackson again.
Mm. Okay.
Hell isn't as popular as the other two, but Al Pacino has used it 49 times, which is the record. Leonardo DiCaprio is second with 39. And Dennis Quaid is 38, Keanu Reeves 36, and Robert Duvall 33. On one last quick note, Julia Roberts is out there fighting for women's rights to curse. She didn't make the F-bomb list, but she's got the 40 S-words and 23 hells. No other woman made the list. Julia Roberts is the only actress to make
that
the list.
That surprises me.
That is borderline shocking to me.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot, like, Melissa McCarthy. Like, there's a ton of actresses I could think of that I would have thought of way before her would have been, like...
Although... Julia Roberts has more of a body of work than Melissa McCarthy.
Right.
So they're going to catch up.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
They will eventually catch up.
The other interesting part of this to me, who did this?
I know I was going to ask the same question. Like, all right, here's your assignment. I need you to watch movies and count swear words.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what? What?
And does that person, like, do they never want to swear again?
Right.
Like, never want to hear another swear word. That's kind of funny.
I would like to read their, like, so this is the data. I want to read their impressions.
Yeah.
You know, after. So what do you think of this actor after watching them specifically to find out how many times they swore? Were they good at it? Did they have a good delivery? Was it worth it?
I like that. I think that I want to get that person on the air and I want to interview them now. Mm-hmm. Yes. We will take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you right now. And I want everybody to get the most proper voices for this next conversation.
Oh.
Everybody must act proper.
Requires an accent then.
Mm, yes, indeed.
Very Downton Abbey of you.
Yes. America's first gourmet restaurant for dogs just opened in San Francisco.
Oh, my.
How quaint. Nice. The name of it is the French word for mastiff. It's called Doja. It's pronounced like dog, but with this snooty French person, an accent kind of to it and everything.
Oh, my goodness.
It opened on September 25th and only serves dog food, but not normal dog food. Oh, no. The founder is a classically trained French chef. He and his wife opened a doggy daycare in 2015 and started selling their clients homemade dog food he cooked up. So that's how they got the idea. It was popular with a lot of their, you know, clients and everything. So he thought, oh, I could turn this into a business. All of the restaurant's food is human grade. During the week, it operates as a patisserie that sells small but elaborate pastry treats for dogs that start at about $5 each.
Oh, my goodness.
They also sell dogachinos. Which is
a frappuccino?
Yeah, yeah. On Sunday, they do a 3-course tasting menu for $75. Oh. It includes things like green-lipped mussels and wheatgrass and raw filet mignon with fermented cabbage and quail egg on top.
Oh, my goodness. What? What? This is an Onion article, right?
I wish. I really, really wish it was. So first
this
up,
this is like one of those stories that they make up, and you got to pick which one is not true.
I swear on everything I am, Melissa. If the roles are reversed, you're doing this story, and you ask me what city is this in? San Francisco. It's the first thing I'd say, San Francisco. First thing, right away. One, incredibly dog-friendly. Mm-hmm. Very, very dog-friendly city. Also, very rich city.
Okay.
Like, you know, by most standards, it mm-hmm. is one of the richer cities in the country. It's because I can't think of all I'm seeing here. And look, you've heard me talk about dogs on the air. You guys know how I feel
right.
about dogs. I love dogs. I take a bullet for a dog. I love dogs.
Pet lover, yep.
Mm-hmm. I cannot think of a bigger waste of money than this. Do you really think the dog knows that? Like, a dog is going to be able to tell the difference of the food that it eats on a normal basis.
Okay.
If you change up its meal that it eats every morning and it's always eaten, and you change it up, and you know, this new food's healthier or whatever, the dog will notice that. But the dog is not noticing. Huh? Am I tasting a little kibble in there? Is that pork I taste? Oh, I like. Oh, wait until I tell the guys about this.
I got the quail egg.
That's all that's
James,
food.
A dog will eat its own poop.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
This is lost on me.
Very lost.
I mean,
very
I get wanting to give your pet good nutrition and a healthy, well-rounded diet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Cook them up some chicken gizzards.
I mean,
some frozen veggies. Throw it on top of their kibble.
It tells you a lot here because they're not, other than that $75 3-course tasting menu, they are not giving prices away online. This is one of those stores you don't know what you're spending until you go, or restaurants, you don't know until you're going there what you're spending.
Okay. The other thing is that I can't quite wrap my head around is why would you take your dog out to eat when you also can't eat?
Yeah, yeah.
Because do you like go have lunch with your girlfriends and then, oh, well, my dog has an appointment for his lunch.
Yeah, then you're going to go home, pick up the dog and go out and
take them out for lunch. Like,
man, talk about disposable income.
Woof. I can't even imagine.
Do you think this would work, like it would be popular if you kind of combine this, like say you had a normal fast food place that also served dog, you know, treats
that
or
seems,
something.
That seems more logical to me.
So you can get your lunch and, you know,
right.
Fido can get a treat too.
Yeah, you can
too,
take your dog with you to lunch. You can actually take your dog out to lunch. He just can't sit at the table.
Boy, now I'm worried, though, if you have that on a menu, how many people are going to be ordering, like, dog food, like, dog treat items, eating them,
well, this
thinking,
looks good.
Boy, that was cheap on the dollar menu. I'll get some of those.
Well, my other question is, what's the seating like at that restaurant?
I love the idea. Oh, God, I hope it's this. You know what? I'm not even going to look it up because I prefer to believe this. I walk in with my dog. I walk there. I take Sam there or something. Mm-hmm. Sam goes and sits at a table, and I got to go in back. Like, I'm hooked up in back. He's got a number, and he just comes and picks me up whenever he's done. Like,
I'll just be hanging out back here waiting for you. On the coat rack.
Yeah, I'm sitting in the coat rack room with like five other adults.
Dude, just sitting there waiting. And what's your breed?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's the conversation. I love that.
this is not real life.
No, this cannot be. I also want to know the bank that this guy went to get this deal. To get his loan for this. What bank signed off on this?
Launched this idea.
Man, that's, I don't know. You know what? I hope I'm wrong. I hope it does well. I don't like any the you idea know, of any business going
no,
bankrupt.
And
so, but
he could do very well with this yeah. in that city, in yes. that demographic. Is this going to spread across the country like wildfire? Wildfire? Not likely. Mm-mm. Not wildflower either.
No, either.
None of those things are going to spread.
Although wildflower, unpredictable. Very unpredictable.
Very
could
much.
Be anywhere
mm-hmm.
at any point,
yep.
anytime.
Anytime.
We'll take a break. Get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR.
I put a spell on you.
I don't want to interrupt the song now.
I know.
you don't interrupt Screaming Jay Hawkins.
Mm.
You don't interrupt that voice. Man, that is still that. Just still that, like, to me, that is the most haunting song of all time.
Mm-hmm.
All time period. Scariest, most haunting, like, you know, Marilyn Manson, you know, AC/DC, any artists come up with, like, Alice Cooper is what I think. Alice Cooper, Marilyn Manson, any of those guys, like, all of them, like, nothing compared to Screaming Jay Hawkins. Nothing compared to it. This is a fun story, Melissa. It's an interesting one. It also, for some people, might be a that ain't right story.
Okay.
Doctors in Italy shared details of a recent delicate brain surgery during which a patient remained awake playing the saxophone.
Wow.
Pedagogia International Hospital in Rome said in the news release that the 35-year-old patient, identified as GZ, was kept awake and played his saxophone during the 9-hour surgery to remove a tumor from his brain.
Wow.
Doctors said the musical performance allowed these surgeons to map the different functions of his brain as they operated. Awake surgery makes it possible to map with extreme precision during the surgery the neurological networks that are underlie the various brain functions, such as playing, speaking, moving, remembering, and counting, says Dr. Christina Borgana, who led the surgery team.
Wow.
She continues to say the goal of awake surgery is to remove the brain tumor or a vascular malformation, such as a cavernomas located in a specific area of the brain, while preserving the patient's quality of life.
Wow.
These are a lot more common than I realized.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of them doing that where a woman was playing violin.
Mm.
So because they wanted to be sure that she could continue to play violin.
See, my only issue with this whole thing was, because it's very cool, and it's just incredible where we have gotten with the medical world and technology and all this. And I'm not trying to be a jerk here or anything like that, but took no requests. Like, 9-hour surgery, not one request.
Played the same song over and over.
Over and over and over. And it's just, I mean, come on, change it up a little bit here. I can only hear Mary Had a Little Lamb on the saxophone so many times, man.
That's great. You got this down. Time for new material.
There's got to be, that joke had to have been made. Like, somebody had to have made that joke to that person at some point. When they woke up. So, I don't, I never even like my, like, there are times where even just going into the dentist to get a checkup, I would like them to knock me out. Like, I can't imagine something
like this.
Imagine
going into brain surgery knowing you're going to be awake. I mean, there's a fair amount of surgeries that they do, and surgeries, I'm using that word loosely. But like for, let's say, an endoscopy, you're numbed or you're slightly sedated depending on, you know, it's patient by patient. Or when you have your tonsils removed. Like I had, when I had my tonsils removed, I had, not my tonsils, my wisdom teeth.
Mm.
I had a cold. So they wouldn't put me out completely because they didn't want to take the chance of me not being able to breathe. So I was just slightly loopy, you know, like almost out, but not quite. So I was aware during the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little more disconcerting. Like you can't actually feel pain, but you can still feel them tugging.
Yeah.
And, you know, doing so. I can't imagine going into brain surgery with like, all right, well, you're going to be awake for this. And then they talk you through what they're actually going to be doing. I think that would be kind of scary.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty scary.
It seems like it to me. Absolutely. And definitely something I have no interest in, like, experiencing.
Yeah,
like,
so just don't get a brain tumor, James.
Yep. That's what I'm working on.
Avoid that.
I decided not to do that one. I decided that I'm not going
to
do
don't
that.
Don't need to include that one on your bingo card for this year?
No. Got one other one, and this is just a fun story here. A New Zealander taught both his parents how to play the drums and bass so he would have people to jam with.
Nice.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
And now they have an album out.
That's awesome.
Ryan Stokes couldn't have his friends over to jam during lockdown, so he decided to teach his parents how to play instruments. Inspired by the White Stripes, a two-piece rock band, the 20-year-old guitarist initially taught his 55-year-old mom to play the drums.
That's awesome.
2 months later, his 60-year-old father picked up an electric bass for the first time. The family appropriately named their band Mama's Boy, with Ryan crushing songs as the frontman vocalist, while Andrea Stokes keeps time on drums and Lyndon plucks the bass, all with a lot of competence. The trio have been practicing 3 to 4 hours, 3 to 4 times a week, and they now have an album out called Who Would Have Thought? It was released in April on the band's Spotify account.
That's awesome. Good on those parents.
Yeah. Quote, they were pestered to start the band by their very eager son, joked Ryan, who was born in Hamilton, Scotland. I had nothing to do during lockdown and wanted to play music. Mom loved the White Stripes, especially Meg White, and was very excited to learn the drum like her. That's pretty cool. That mom even knew who the White Stripes were. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty cool. After a quick lesson on the drum kit in the garage, Ryan says, sure enough, she had a strong beat within an hour and was ready to play within 3 hours.
Wow.
Both of the middle-aged newbies adapted to their rock star life very quickly, appearing in videos on TikTok hours after picking up instruments for the first time. And the group quickly won the hearts of the internet, accumulating over 72,000 followers on TikTok since their formation. Now they're up to 700,000 or something like that.
Wow.
It's way up there now.
That's awesome.
That just seems like a really fun idea. And, you know, the band, they're not signed to a record label or anything yet, but they might be. You never know. Might happen.
They got the following for it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty darn cool, you know? I mean, it's just good on them for even doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we kind of skate past these things a little bit sometimes, but it takes a lot of, like, patience and diligence to learn a new instrument. And they say, that this is just what I've heard and read and stuff from people that know what they're talking about, the older you get, the harder it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are in your 40s, 50s, and you're just picking up an instrument, more power to you, you know? Let alone in your 60s. Mm-hmm. But, man.
And let's talk about, you know, being a supportive parent for a moment.
Right, yes.
I mean,
yes.
That's a big undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
So good on them.
That's pretty cool. And now they get to tour together. Now they're going to be all over.
Family time.
I hope they get a record deal. I really do. I hope they get a record deal. We'll take a break. We'll come back with a That Ain't Right story, some good stories of the day, and plenty more coming up for you on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, serious comedy to start your day. Melissa and James here with you. Hope you're having a great one out there, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Got fun stuff coming up for you. After we're done doing our thing here, we'll take you to the top of the hour. CBS News will come in. And then we got Playmakers, as we do every Monday. Join us for Playmakers every Monday from 10 to 11. This morning, we're going to have Seth Haphacker sitting in with us. Seth's going to be with us. And we're going to be joined by Coach Paul from the Wisconsin Rapids River Kings.
Awesome.
Looking forward to that. That's going to be fun as well. Talk a little Kings. Maybe give some tickets away during that hour. We'll see. Huh? If you guys
are good,
okay, then we'll do that. But otherwise, we'll see. No, we're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be great. Got a ton of things to talk about sports-wise. Looking forward to every bit of it. And looking forward to your phone calls, everybody. 424-2600. You call up during the show and share your sports thoughts and feelings with us.
Mm-hmm.
Big shout-out to Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring the show. Our first That Ain't Right story, Melissa, actually happened back in March.
Okay.
But it's just now gaining a little bit of traction, I think because of court issues have been settled. So now we can hear about it, kind of thing.
Okay.
This is like breaking into a bank, realizing you don't have a plan to open the vault, and stealing a stapler like afterwards. Like,
okay.
A man broke into a gas station in Greenfield, Wisconsin overnight last week, or when this happened back in March. And he entered by using a crowbar to smash the glass front door. But there was a problem. He couldn't access the registers because they were behind a wall of bulletproof glass. So what did he do? He had already broken in. He was wearing a cool all-black burglar outfit and everything, you know.
He dressed for the occasion.
Didn't want to leave empty-handed. So he looked around, saw a garbage can, and started filling it up with candy. Oh, and energy drinks. Oh, I'm sorry. I almost forgot the energy drinks.
Oh, don't forget those. Because, it's a full, you know, that's a good combo.
It's a full diet right there.
It's a full meal.
Then he carried it out to his vehicle and left. It's unclear how big the garbage cans were or anything like that. But, it clearly this guy not in his right mind, if you will.
Yeah. No, you got to case the joint first, right?
Not a criminal mastermind. Yes. Yeah. This is the guy, the kind of guy, though, that I always make the joke, a cruel criminal mastermind. You're not going to see this guy in Ocean's 11. Actually, I have to correct that a little bit, because this is the kind of guy that would try to break in or steal from a casino in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of this, Melissa, the biggest bank robbery in Vegas history and how far they got?
Mm-mm.
I believe it was the MGM Grand, and they stole like some godly amount of money, and they made it like right to the front end of the parking lot.
Ah.
That's it. That's the farthest anybody's ever gotten away with any bank, quote unquote, robbery in a casino in Vegas. They've not even gotten to their car.
Wow.
I think of those situations oftentimes with these things where these criminals seem to like fall into, like, how did they even tie their shoes that morning, let alone break into a building? You know?
Yeah. And you want to ask what they're thinking, but you probably don't want to know.
Crime is an immoral act. Therefore, it can't be perfected. It also doesn't have a school, apparently.
No.
There's no graduating from this one. Well, there's not graduating, and that's where you end up in jail.
Yeah.
That's where.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not right. Not right. This one ain't much better, everybody. This should go without saying, but if you're using a stolen credit card, you don't need to worry about coupons. A 30-year-old woman in Michigan named Ashley Trout went on a shopping spree with a stolen credit card recently, and she was caught because at one stop, a Tractor Supply store, she used her personal rewards card. I'm done.
Oh.
I can't do it anymore. I'm walking away from society. I can't do it. I'm done.
How did she not think she was going to get caught? That's ridiculous. Or is it just habit?
It's even better because they don't mention it in this article, but it's one she goes to on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
If you have
a reward card.
If you have a reward card, I mean, yeah, you go. This is a place you go very, so they're going to know you. So when they're looking at this stolen credit card and they realize, hey, the name doesn't match the person, you know, perhaps she was hoping to get a good deal, and you know, you don't want to miss out on those reward points, though, Melissa. I mean, maybe we should make fun of this. Those reward points, you know, make fun of this person, laugh at this person. And it wasn't just one stolen card. Ashley and her husband Edward confessed to breaking into at least 15 storage units and stealing these.
Oh my goodness.
They were charged with conducting a criminal enterprise, breaking and entering with intent, possession, and a couple of other things. They are not going to be home for Christmas.
No.
That just... I love it when the mugshot looks exactly like the people you were thinking of.
Yes.
Whatever you're picturing at home, everybody, you're right. You're right. That's exactly who it is. That's exactly what it is.
That's unfortunate for them.
I will never understand that look on that facial hair on a guy either. Like that type of facial hair, it's never made sense to me. Where it's just that, I don't get it. I don't get
it.
Two sides of
the chin?
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Like either grow a beard or don't. Like if you can't grow a beard, don't.
don't try.
Just shave.
Yeah.
The patchy stuff, like no. And I'm not saying I grow a great beard or anything either, but I mean, at least you can tell what it is, what it's on me. I don't have to use a marker to shade, you know, fade it in or anything like that. That is a real that ain't right story, especially once you get a look at them.
Yeah, she did not look happy.
Need a palate cleanser. Let's get to some good stories of the
Please
day.
Do.
A 20-year-old from New Zealand didn't have anyone to jam with during the COVID lockdowns, and we just got done telling you about Mama's Boy, this band. I did want to mention along with that, though, they have a cover of Bad Moon Rising from CCR.
Really?
That's the only song I heard. I only had time to look up one song, but I listened to it. It's actually really good.
Really?
Like, it's a really nice version. Like, if you had not told me these were, you know, not professional musicians, I wouldn't have thought that. I wouldn't have, they sounds like real professionals to me.
Awesome.
I forgot to mention that with the article before, so I did want to get that out there. I believe if you have, I don't have TikTok, but I believe if you have TikTok, you can find it right away searching for
I'm
it
sure
on there.
You could.
Okay. A cafe in England has a new sliding price scale based on how polite you are.
Really?
If you say hello and please when you order, you pay around $2 for a chai tea. If you say please but not hello, it costs a little bit more.
Really?
And if you just walk up and say chai tea, you'll pay around $5.50.
Wow.
So you're going to pay about $3 more.
Just for not being polite. That's interesting.
I
wonder how they...
How you enforce this? How stringent are you enforcing it?
Yep.
Like, are you really, really enforcing it very heavy? Or like with your regulars, if there's a day where they're having a rough day, they don't ask how you're doing, you still give them the price. Like, there's a lot of wiggle room here, but I like it. I still like it.
It's interesting. I wonder how it goes over with customers.
And then
how many repeat customers they have.
I'm not big on forced things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't like forced patriotism. I don't like forced, you know, manners.
Yeah.
I don't like... But at the same time, that's how a lot of these things start.
Well,
when we're little,
right.
None of us have manners.
Nope.
You're
taught.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe, you know, sometimes as adults, we need to relearn that a little
bit.
Imagine
walking up to the counter. Chai latte. What's the magic word?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, oh, God, yeah. Boy, that one. Yeah, even my mom didn't get away with that one very often. Yeah. Because it's patronizing.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
But that's just the first thing that popped into my head.
Though. I do love the idea of doing that, yeah. Doctors in Italy the world's oldest doctor is a 100-year-old from Ohio named Dr. Howard Tucker, and he has no plans to retire. He even posts health tips on TikTok now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hmm. Now, he doesn't, it should be known too, he's not performing like open heart surgery or anything like that. This guy, I mean, you know, he's doing a lot of the basics, but he's still working.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, that's awesome. Good on him. He obviously is doing it because he loves it.
You know, and if you don't have to retire, if you don't want to retire, you know, there's nothing saying that you necessarily, you know, should or there's any forcing of it or anything like
Unless
that.
Unless it's a safety issue.
Absolutely. A little different. Yeah. A little different there. Melissa, one more time, I don't want to thank you. The Kitchen's Open segment, you've been doing great with that. We've been enjoying it. Nice
it's
one today.
It's been a lot of fun.
Good. Good to hear. That was a lot of fun today. I enjoyed it.
I love talking about food, so you just ask me questions about food, I'll talk.
You got a good future in that. You might want to look into that. Thank you so much for hanging out. You have a great day.
Yeah, you too, James.
Everybody,
good show.
Everybody out there, have a good one. We'll talk to you soon and later. After we'll be back with Playmakers coming up right here on WFHR.